grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Sovereign God, ruler of all hearts, you call us to obey you, and you favor us with true freedom. Keep us faithful to the ways of your Son, that leaving behind all that hindered us, we may steadfastly follow your paths through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated. Tyler, come on up.
So, I brought these today. Do you guys know what these are?
Kids.
Wait, so close. Bikes. These are sprint racing. See, when I was younger, I used to sprint. I was a sprinter. And I would put these shoes on and start a race and start sprinting. While I was running, I was focused. I was on my path. I was sprinting. I wasn't looking at people around me. I was hearing people in the crowds and the bleachers cheering for me, which is awesome, cheering for the other people around us, which is sweet. I heard my coach screaming at me, and I tripped on my other spike. And I fell forward, and I dove forward, and I scraped myself up. My hand went over the finish line. That's how I got the name Superman. And this kind of reminds me of a story about Jesus, where he has of people coming to him saying, hey, come follow me. Hey, come follow me. And it's kind of like, hey, come race with me. And they're like, oh, let me go and do this first, and then I'll come back, and then I'll follow you, and I'll run, and I'll go that pathway with you. But what I want to tell you guys is it's really important to not let distractions get in your way and be able to just go run that race and be focused. Don't look at the people behind you. When you do that, don't trip over yourself and fall on your face like I did. See, go run that race, and people that are your coaches, that are nice ladies, but can be really loud, sometimes, are you, that's what I want to send you guys off with as you go back into the seats that you haven't seen.
The first reading is from 1 Kings. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu as Nimshi as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. So he set out from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, who was plowing. There were 12 yoke of oxen ahead of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over him. He left the oxen, ran to Elijah, and said, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. Then Elijah said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? He returned from following him, took the yoke of oxen, and slaughtered them using the equipment from the oxen. He boiled their flesh and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out and followed Elijah and became his servant. Word of God, word of life. Let us read Psalm 16 responsively. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my good above all other. Upon those who are noble among the people. But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied. I will not pour out drink offerings to such gods, never take the names upon my lips. O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot, my boundless and those of the pleasant land. Indeed, I have a rich inheritance. I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night. I have set the Lord always before me. Because God is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. My heart therefore is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope.
For you will not
abandon me to the grave, nor let your Holy One see the pit. You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Galatians. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you as I warned you before. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another, he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I shared a house in South Dakota with a co-worker, and you know, it takes some time for roommates to get to know each other's habits, the good ones and the bad ones. And in those years that Darlene and I lived in the same house, we came to an agreement on most things, but not all. We took turns driving to our weekly staff meeting, and we were always late. We were always late because this is the one habit that continued to bug me about Darlene all the years that we lived together, about 3 or 4 years. Darlene had a need to do just one more thing before she walked into the garage to get into the car. Maybe it was a phone call, maybe it was to empty the dishwasher, Maybe it was to polish her shoes. I would be, you know, making my beeline for the car, and she'd be putting a piece of toast piece of bread in the toaster. And what? We're already late. She's just one more thing. It was always one more thing before she could go. I was reminded of that habit of hers when I read this story about Jesus, because it seems like he was bugged by that just one more thing that other people had to do too. Jesus' curt responses that we heard in the gospel today was not so much about his impatience with others. If we look at Jesus' response from the perspective of the urgency of God's favor and God's love, every minute matters for those in the kingdom. Jesus doesn't want us to miss a minute of knowing about God's love. Every moment counts. But it's not impatience. I wonder, what if Jesus sees the importance of time, of a minute, of a second for our sake, and not just for the sake of the urgency of his ministry, the urgency of the kingdom that he wishes to bring to its fullness, the urgency of making sure that all people will come to know of God's favor before he gets to Jerusalem and those who reject God's favor will silence him. Not only for that urgency, but also because being human means that every moment really does count. When we think of those hundreds of people in Orlando who were killed or injured in that place that they saw as a safe and secure place, we know that every moment does count. But for all of us, and for our fragile lives, it's so very true. Every moment counts. In the midst of transitions and changes, every moment counts. In the reality of work and family, in all of the events and circumstances in our lives, every moment counts. In celebrating a good diagnosis or mourning a poor one, every moment counts. Every moment has to count because since God decided to become human and to live as one with us and make every moment count, Jesus' call to his disciples and to us is not a call to turn our back on what is important to us. Jesus' call is to turn and go, and that is a promise. Jesus' call to us is a promise that in God becoming human, God made every moment count. God made time matter. Even seconds matter to God. And why is that? Every moment matters because every one of us matters. It's not just about how we're using those minutes to serve God. It's about those minutes that we are basking in God's love, living in the kingdom, in the fullness of that reign of God's favor that is for us. God doesn't want us to miss any minute of God's love for us, of knowing of God's love for us. This story of the impatient Jesus calling for an immediate response is a call for us to respond. Jesus recognizes our tendency to put off the moments in time that might actually make a difference in our discipleship, in what we say about him. Perhaps Jesus sees that we come with ready excuses to put off sharing that proclamation of God's love. We can make a lot of excuses. I need to be in a better place, or a better time, or when my life is more put together. Perhaps Jesus simply says, stop making excuses and just start. Start inviting others to experience God's kingdom love with you. What's holding you back from telling others about God's love? What are your excuses? Are you waiting for someone else to speak for justice and a call for righteousness? Or will you be done with excuses and grab a hold of the moment and proclaim the promise of God's love? Are you waiting for someone else to stand up for those that the world rejects and abuses? Or will you be done with excuses and grab hold of the moment and say that God's love is for everyone? Are you waiting for someone to push you or to pull you into discipleship? Or will you be done with excuses and take the risk of volunteering and telling the truth of God's amazing love in your life? Last week, I read an article from the ELCA, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, our denomination. The churchwide office in Chicago sent out a newsletter. Janine pointed it out to me. It was all about using the ELCA emblem and the logo and the tagline. Does anybody know what the tagline is for the ELCA? God's work, our hands. Who said that? Oh, Carolyn. Good. She gets an extra star. God's work, our hands. That's the tagline for the ELCA. But the part of the article that really caught my attention was what they call the elevator speech. Jeff will like this. He's always wanting us to get our elevator speech down. So the elevator speech is what you say to someone when they said, "Oh, you're Lutheran. What does that mean?" And to be able to answer that question in the time that it takes you to go up to the third floor in an elevator. And so this is a concise elevator speech, just two sentences. But it's enough to get a conversation started, or maybe even enough to get the person that asked the question interested enough to ask another question. I'm going to try to memorize this elevator speech on the way to confirmation camp. I'm going to have the boys who are traveling with me memorize this as well. I'll put it in the bulletin next week so you can memorize it too. So when someone says to you, what does Lutheran mean? Or what does your denomination stand for? What is it about? This is what the churchwide office wrote. As members of the ELCA, we believe that we are freed in Christ to serve and love our neighbor. With our hands, we do God's work of restoring and reconciling communities in Jesus Christ's name throughout the world. Concise, no excuses. We're freed in Christ to serve and love. No excuses. With our hands, we do God's work. Simple. So how do we measure a life? How do we measure the time that we are truly living who we are, baptized, beloved children of God? How do we measure a life? Well, just one more thing. Remember, because every moment counts, Jesus says, you count. You matter. And God counts on you to share that. Amen.